I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the east end of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Chris Prosperi, our senior contributor from Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. Thank you all so much for being here. A little later on, we have Suzette and Franco Camacho, who have started a new restaurant in downtown Brantford called Beach and Barn, and we have some stuff from them. Ahead, you're going to hear about coconut milk French toast. You're going to hear about our Valentine's Day steak, or you could do that for any party, because it has a Middle Eastern chimichurri sauce with garlic and parsley and cilantro, and oh, is it good. And the not-so-Jewish chicken soup, which has a chorizo and onions and garlic and white wine in it. And all of that is on our website right now at WNPR.org. Search programs for the Faith Middleton Show. Very quickly, thank you to Carol Gabrielson-Fine in Bloomfield, Connecticut, who sent us a lovely note and said she appreciates all of our discussion about bacon. And when she found this, she wanted us to have it. It is a bacon Band-Aid.
No, hand that right
it's
over.
It's an old school one. I just want you to know. Is
I
this
will
good?
Take that.
Look at this. I just want to show you what the Band-Aid looks like.
It's a strip of bacon.
It's a strip of bacon.
Oh, that's totally
which
for
is
me.
Kind of great. I know.
Looks like a new injury.
I'm going to use that the next time I cut myself, and that does happen from time to time.
Also, I want to say Father Christopher Ford is a Food Schmooze listener, I'm told, from St. Mary's Church in Brantford, Connecticut. Well, he hosted a going away party for Lisa Arpin, who is the new town clerk in Brantford. And I guess for her party, he had heard one of our suggestions on a recent food schmooze on Bordeaux's, which is very affordable, this particular one, and delicious. And I guess, you know, the people who were doing the wine buying, he said to try this Bordeaux. And so thank you, Father Ford, for listening and glad we could assist. I guess they had a great time. Lisa Arpin said awesome. They had the best time at that party. And I'm going to try a red wine right now because I think it would be a tremendous match with steak, with duck, because this is a Cabernet Sauvignon from the Czech region. So this is new to Connecticut, and you can get this in New York too, but it's new to Connecticut. This is called Vino Zicek is the company, V-I-N-O with the initial Z, and then Czech, C-Z-E-C-H. And this is from Moravia. It is a Cabernet Sauvignon 2011. This is posted at our website. It's about $18 a bottle, and if you want to find out where it is near you, just go see the link on our website. This is a grape that is around the Czech region and in Austria, and the grape is Svigelt, and it's mixed with Cabernet Franc, and that's what makes this wonderful flavor. This is kind of what I call the old school cab, where they haven't fooled around with it, and so it has got a real pure taste. It's a simple, delicious wine, and wow, was it great with our steak just now.
I would never have said Czech.
I had no idea.
I had no idea. When I tasted it, I thought I was starting to think about like what it was and where it was from. And that is just so surprising.
It was
and
nice
I don't know why
mellow.
It's surprising. I mean, I know they grow grapes there and make wine there, but that
we're
is an
not used to it, but
yeah,
nice.
And that's an amazing glass of wine.
That was really nice. So, and the price point's nice, too.
And it's nice to try, you know, a different grape.
And a
I
different
don't know
region,
if I've had,
too.
Yeah. So I don't know if I've had Svigelt, because I like Austrian wines.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've had it in something else.
Yeah, we tend to drink
the whites.
Yeah, we tend to drink the whites here in the States.
So Noah Ullman, I think, has started this, and they're based in Colebrook, Connecticut.
Oh,
so they're the importer, and then they have a distributor that working with them, and they're in about 20 wine stores. And so we've decided to put the link on our website
where to get it.
For this Vino Zicek, because it'll be a lot easier. So go to WNPR.org. And normally we give you the distributor. Mm. We're going to put this right up there. And I really, thumbs up on this for $18.
That was nice.
Yeah, huh?
It's as if you had a Bordeaux, but with a kind of smoothness.
Yeah.
It's as if
easy drinking.
Very easy, but stands up to a steak, but would be phenomenal with duck.
Yeah.
I just really, I had a goose over the holidays.
Oh, that would be it.
And it would be unbelievable with the goose. Oh, yeah.
Did you prick the goose and get the fat out and boil it first? And is that what you do?
Yeah, we did a little. Yeah. Well, we did it in the oven.
You can do it all in the oven. Yeah.
And, you know, you have to get a pretty big – well, you know, you use your turkey baster to pull the fat out of the bottom of the pan.
Oh.
So it does make – and then you save that and then roast potatoes in it.
And that's what we did. We roasted potatoes in the fat. It was absolutely heavenly. Okay. So, Noah, thank you for bringing something new to our region. Vino Z, the initial Z, Czech, C-Z-E-C-H. These are wines from Moravia, the Czech Republic, now available in Connecticut and New York. So there you go. And thank you so much for that. And the labels are really cool.
I was going to say, but since you took the words right out of my mouth.
And they make some whites, too, that were kind of interesting.
But, you know, you put that on your table and you tell people it's Czech. I mean, what a conversation starter.
But it is a beautiful label, too. It looks like a beautiful painting.
And it says on the label, I didn't get a chance to ask Noah about this, but I guessed in the Czech Republic for millennia, it was, you know, well, I guess first planted by the ancient Romans. Mm-hmm. They've been doing wine in the Czech Republic, and they have many awards over there, and their wines are very high quality and enjoyed across Europe. So
we've never gotten familiar
with them here in the United States, unless you are Czech, you know, from the region, and so you would know these wines. This wine is produced by Vinné Sklepy Votice. And it is described as having a note of currant and stands up well to game and mature cheeses. And I would say that is really true. V-I-N-O with the initial Z and Czech, C-Z-E-C-H. Yeah, nice. 2011. Right. Go to our website right now and you can see the link for that. He said, I don't care how many, every single person who writes to me, I will tell them either where to go near them or we'll send it off in the mail to them.
Oh, that's very generous.
Yeah.
It's exciting to find new wines. And that's really new. That's not like, oh, I found another California wine or another Argentinian wine. Mm. That's like opening up a whole new region to us.
Yeah. And they, I think all their website, all their wines are on there.
Very cool.
I'm going to try to fool around with this and come up with a recipe in the near future. But I just read and, you know, I have a zillion cookbooks from all over, as you might imagine, that the publishing industry is just hammering us with these cookbooks. And I read them as if they're novels. And so I'm looking through, and I came upon one. It was a vegetarian cookbook, and it said, boil your tofu in cube it up, and boil it as if it's pasta.
Really? What does
that
do?
And then you can mash it with a fork and add things to it, in a way making it into a kind of cheese spread. And yet it's got the protein and vegetable base of tofu. And tofu is so neutral that whatever flavors you add to that to make your kind of cheese for a dip or whatever – I thought that was so smart, and my mind is racing
with flavors
to put in there.
Because I've boiled it in soup, but never taken it out of the soup except on my spoon and eaten, you know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's great in soup like that, but I've never boiled it like pasta and then drained it and then did stuff with it.
Well, I'm always frying it. And
I thought,
what is wrong with me that I've never thought to do this?
Always frying it.
Grilling it. I mean, you could make a pasta with this. You could cut it into matchsticks. Hmm. You know, I mean, you could do really anything.
The boiling actually make it softer than it already is?
I would start with extra firm tofu. Okay.
Yeah, that's the stuff I always use.
Oh, maybe I wouldn't if I'm making a cheese, though.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't tried this
yet. This is an experiment now.
Isn't this kind of fun? This is how things happen. You know,
and I do like tofu. I've been using it a lot, and I put it in salads and stuff, but it's always fried. It's never boiled.
A spread for the start of a meal. And, you know, what would we add to that? I'd put maybe some yuzu sauce, which
lemon.
Is now made gluten-free and regular.
Yeah.
I'd add, let me see what else. Maybe some olive oil and oregano.
Yeah, fresh herbs, tomato, maybe chopped up sun-dried tomatoes or roasted peppers.
How about Kalamata olive?
Sure,
Kalamata
like an olive spread.
Scallions,
put it in the food processor.
And some fresh lemon. Yeah, food processor.
Food processor with olives.
You shouldn't even need to. I guess it's so soft you just mash it with a fork.
Mm. So
it's a little chunky.
And then what do you put that on?
Toast.
Crackers, toast.
Yeah, like a dip. Like a dip
tortillas.
Or a spread.
Okay.
Yes, like a dipper.
When are you making it?
Well,
are we coming
have
over
to watch
to dinner
cholesterol.
Tonight?
Okay.
Is that the appetizer?
Sure.
That sounds great.
People have to watch cholesterol, you know.
That's
or
true.
I
instead
think
of an actual cheese dip.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're not left out. You've got a really cool thing going. It's a flavor profile that you really like.
Tofu is one of those things I think that people are always like walking away from because they don't know what to do with it. It's sort of weird to them. But if you make it right and you do good things with it, like blending the right flavors with it, it can be wonderful.
You know, I think my problem is that I never get the water out. I never
and I think
squeeze
that's
the water
what,
out
But
enough.
See, boiling will do that.
Chris, I just want to say this one thing before we go to our break and we do the steak and with the chimichurri and the not-so-Jewish chicken soup and the coconut milk French toast. I just want to say this. You have had, up until this last moment, some really great help in your kitchen. Can you introduce this person to us? Because we want to say
an
official
home
goodbye.
Kitchen.
In your home kitchen.
In my home kitchen. This is Lexi Gruber.
Hey,
and
Lexi.
She's, I guess, my foster kid.
Yeah.
And so tell me what's happening for you next. You're going where?
I'm going to D.C. in a week.
To do what?
To intern in Congress and work on the intersection of education and child welfare.
Pretty cool.
Isn't that
very
great?
Good.
Really,
very
so
cool.
Great. Congratulations
Thank you.
To you.
I have to learn how to cook on my own for the first time.
Well, and you've got just the right person to call.
Well, you've been training at Chris's house,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she's been doing it.
My New Year's resolution is to eat healthy.
So what'd you think of that tofu thing I just described?
My mouth is watering.
Really? Are you? Really? Because
yes.
you're at Quinnipiac and you're stuck at a deli, a local deli, right?
Yes, that is not healthy at all.
All right. Listen, the best of luck to you.
Yes. Thank you.
Really,
she's gonna rock.
You are. There's no question about it.
Thank
no
you.
Question. All right, coming up in our next segments, we're going to hear from the chef at Balabusta. We're going to talk about coconut milk French toast, which is, wow, it's actually a cream cheese sandwich French toast, which gets all melty in the oven. Unbelievable. The not-so-Jewish chicken soup and the chimichurri sauce, which is Middle Eastern for steak, that is all right now at our website, WNPR.org. Search programs for the Faith Middleton Show. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry, more mouth-watering conversation and fun here on The Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be cornbread ready tomorrow night. Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night. Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night. Beans. That's what Beans said to cornbread.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m. and Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to you for listening and to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. I also wanted to do a special thank you to Beth Messina and Heather Brandon. Beth Messina and Heather Brandon are supervising our internet production, and they are just terrific at it. And we want to thank them for all the hard work that they do at our site, because we have so many visitors to look at the recipes, our value wines, cocktails, cookbooks, you name it. So thank you, Beth and Heather. All right, here are our guests in this segment of the Food Schmooze. As promised, we have Suzette and Franco Camacho, and they are owners and chef of the new restaurant in downtown Brantford called Beach and Barn. And they are longtime restaurateurs. They used to have Roomba in New Haven, as Chris and I know. We were there many times, and I have been to Beach and Barn. So welcome to the Food Schmooze, you two. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
It's so great. So, Franco, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Tijuana, Mexico.
Okay. So so you are Mexican and
in a little bit of Spanish. Spanish, Cuban, I would say it, and Native Mexican.
The reason I'm asking Franco this is that he has a way of tasting food and connecting all these cultures in the world and saying, you know, in this culture, they do this this way. And I there's a kind of richness in your cooking from that, I think. And so I'm really glad about that. Which brings me to this. Suzette, barbecued duck nachos. Whose idea was that on your menu at Beach and Barn?
It was actually his.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Franco, is that a Latin thing, or you just want a duck on there somehow and just being kind of wild?
I love duck confit.
Me too.
It has to be in every menu. I bet every menu that I have had in the last 15 years is duck, some sort of in there. But duck confit has been there. Duck empanadas or rumba, one of the favorite ones. Now we translated that into more Mexican flavors. And we start to, you know, say, you know, people love nachos. I love nachos. And when I try them with the barbecue ancho chili sauce, I thought this is
the best. Are you making that yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing better than nachos.
Oh, my God. No, I know. So imagine this for nachos. Shredded duck, black beans, jalapenos, house-made guacamole, and Mexican cheeses. You do a mixture of Mexican cheeses.
Chihuahua and Oaxaca. Yeah.
Chihuahua and Oaxaca. So those are regional cheeses in Mexico. So you do them in the traditional nacho way. Out comes the pile with all these delicious things on top.
Yeah, but we instead of adding any other, the only hot sauce that we add in there is, first of all, we have the sweet and sour of the barbecue, but then you have the chile de árbol sauce that we put right on top of it. And the tortilla chip soaks in very well.
Oh, it's so good.
And who doesn't love nachos and then put duck on it?
I know, really, seriously. We just tried a couple of things, and we had just a phenomenal pasta with roasted lamb. So this was a lamb ragu with minted ricotta, kale greens, and a fresh tomato ragu.
It might be the best pasta I've ever tasted.
It was unbelievably
and
good.
I still can't decide what it was in it. It just went so well together. Was it the minted ricotta? Was it the kale?
And Suzette, you're white.
I'm a gringa.
Nice observation.
Well, I feel it's only fair if we're going to do all this. What culture are you from?
My family's from England, actually.
I suspected. Okay. So pasta with roasted lamb, and I like the idea that you can do the half order or you can do the whole order. That is terrific because if I wanted to do this and have a glass of wine and just be in and out as fast as I can, that's a good idea. We love this, all of us. Lamb ragu, is that a shoulder, lamb shoulder?
We use the leg in this particular one.
So that's a lot of flavor.
Absolutely. You got less fat in it and all that. So, but you got most of the flavors. And then we marinate it. We cook it very slow. We roast it, and then we shred it. And then we add the spices in there. We add the basically it's like mint pesto, if you would.
Oh,
you know, you
garlic.
Say that flavor, garlic, cilantro, green onions. Lots of mint.
It's amazing.
And then
it's so crazy good.
And a little bit of chilies in there.
How you could order a half order, I have no idea. That would be like, okay, now I'll have the other half.
Yeah, no. Remember our New Yorker cartoon?
Yeah.
When they serve portions this big, I have one half now and the other half in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, we also just tried the Atlantic cod chowder style. Now, I want to say something. That title does not begin to describe how flavorful and nuanced this dish is. This was really good. So it's fresh cod that you pan roast, fresh clams, potatoes, carrots, a little bit of cream for the broth. I think there's white wine in there, bacon and onions. And that is a beautiful thing.
I think bacon should be moved up in the description list.
You do? Yeah. So really,
just rub
really
the cut in it.
Yeah, it was great.
So, but not so over the top with cream.
No,
all you
actually,
can taste is cream.
The greatest thing about this dish is that you build the dish as you go. You saute the onions. You already have the partially cooked your potatoes, so that's the one that will take the longest. But if you don't want to do that, you can cut it in really small cubes, like half-inch dice. And by the time you cook all the other stuff, the potatoes are done. And I've done it before.
Okay, Suzette and Franco Camacho are here from the new restaurant downtown Brantford, Beach and Barn. And, you know, you have a section on the menu. I realize you can do soup, salads, and starters. You can do sandwiches. You can do the entrees, some of which are in half and whole portions. And then you can pick sides. And then there's a box that says paleo and gluten-free. So, Suzette, you know, in the beginning, I have to tell you, I really laughed at paleo. You know, I thought, really, seriously, we're going to do a caveman thing now. I didn't understand what it meant. And now I get that it really means clean food. So these weightlifting people are very interested in protein and clean food, but not to the exclusion of vegetables. It's not like it's an old Atkins diet or something.
And even the ladies at lunch, you know, we found that people were modifying dishes. They'd come in, they'd just want something simply grilled. They want some really fresh vegetables. They wouldn't want something heavy. So instead of having someone have to deconstruct a dish, we put a section on the menu which is kind of catered to them, where they could pick a lean protein, have it prepared, you know, with a little olive oil, salt and pepper, very simply.
Or a gluten-free grain.
Or like a gluten-free grain, exactly.
Or whatever it might be.
We have plenty of options, you know, grains and you name it. You know, we have about everything.
Vegetable choices. There's always a ton of different greens that he does, not just typical spinach. You know, he does do the kale. He'll do Brussels sprouts. He'll do a medley of things. He'll cook vegetables to order for people of what combination they want.
So we tasted under sandwiches. Yes, they are, Chris. Oh. So we tasted the falafel, which is homemade falafel and hummus with cucumbers, onions, carrots, and the Mediterranean tzatziki sauce, which is yogurt and cucumbers and garlic. And it's one of my favorite sauces. So you too, right?
Yeah.
A lot of vegetarians.
I can eat
it
with anything.
Yeah, me too. I know.
You put a little more lemon
steak,
juice.
That's
a dipping sauce for artichokes or anything you want.
Oh, that's good. See, that's where your international understanding comes in. So the falafel is made how? How do you do it?
Well, it's chickpeas, garbanzo beans. You cook them, put them in the food processor, add the tahini sauce, which is sesame seeds, grind, and comes into a paste. You add that to it, lemon juice, lots of Italian parsley or regular parsley, and garlic, and olive oil. And then you mix all that together, and it's very nice to spread, or if you do it a little more loose, you can do also a dipping sauce for bread if you like or anything like that.
So when do you fry your falafel?
Yeah, we do. We get the butter and then we just press it in a little scoop and goes into the fry.
And if this falafel, you serve it on a bun instead of in a pita pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And is this gluten-free or does it go in a
It goes in
flour?
It goes in separate. We have this little small fry later. They only we do that. So it's no source of flour in anything. No.
Oh, wow.
Not
okay. Right. Well, you should tell the gluten people. They'll love that because we have lots and lots of gluten-free fans. So many more. So we keep telling people about them.
More often, people put them in a salad, too. They put a few falafels on top. And then,
that's a good way.
Yeah.
Or in any vegetable side dish, you could do it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about the wine list because I want to say congratulate you about something because there is not a wine over $34 on this list. It's not that I criticize anyone for having an expensive wine on the menu because if you're celebrating, some people want to do that. But in restaurants, it's really tough. So I just say thank you on behalf of a lot of people for having it, your wine list like this. And a lot of them are in the 20s, you know, probably half or two-thirds of the list in the $20 to $29 range. Now, what I'm picking up from this menu is that your wine list is that you seem to be looking for wines that are a little bit off the radar.
And trying to find esoteric things that are different and maybe that aren't served everywhere that are a good value.
And so that must make you have to explain to folks a lot about what this is. You know, people might not know. I happen to love this wine, this Grüner Veltliner from Austria by Huber. I love that wine. You like it too, Chris.
I'm Austrian, so
Yeah. A lot of the wines are from Chile and Italy.
New world list primarily.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where the wine values are. But also what's interesting about these places for me is that they're still a little bit what I call old school in the winemaking. They're not putting in a lot of junk into the wine to get a certain flavor profile. these are real wines, I call them. Are you thinking that way?
I agree totally, because most times when people order wine, they forget that will go well with the food that I'm eating. And in this case, most of the wines that I've tried, that I always think about, this will taste great with this dish. Every time I taste a wine, I'm thinking, that'll be good. Great with this.
Yeah, so yeah. You're very focused on food and wine pairings.
Absolutely.
No, I just want to say, after reading the menu, you've got the making here of an amazing neighborhood restaurant.
Well,
if this was in my neighborhood, I probably could eat here twice, three times a week. Because really, sometimes you're in the mood for a sandwich. Sometimes you're in the mood for a salad. I mean, yeah. It really does fit everybody's needs.
Well, here's a question, though, because this is pretty exotic to be on a menu other than a very fancy kind of place. And you've got beef carpaccio among your soups, salads, and starters. And so tell me how you do your beef carpaccio.
Well, I probably say that the most of our meats there, in this case, the carpaccio is a grass-fed tenderloin. And basically, we clean it. Grass-fed beef is very thin, very, very small. You don't see the big, because they're fed with grass. And then we coat it with Dijon mustard and chopped garlic, ground pepper, pepper flakes. And then we just roast it in a really hot pan, and that sticks around. And then we just tie them up really, really tight. And put them in a really cold place. And you can also do it with, you freeze it, and you slice it very thin.
Nice.
Very thin. Every time you need a couple orders, you just go and get that done. And
so that's,
I love the manchego, too.
I know. So that's with thin slices of manchego cheese, arugula, lemon, and avocado. Ooh.
That's a great thing. Prefix here. Yeah. We're coming in.
Right, I just need the hour so I can decide when I'm coming.
No, I mean, that's my to-go dish right there. Do people order this yet? Or
absolutely.
Is this new to?
It's followed him from all of our iterations over the years. It's been one of those dishes that stays.
Oh, that's fun.
But it's the place is just.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
It's definitely catered for local people that they can have anything, like he was saying, I can eat twice a week here. I think that is our aim.
You know what's interesting about two of the things on the menu we just talked about? And Chris, see how you feel about this, because in New York, where I spend a fair amount of time now, the place is taco crazy and falafel crazy. The taco in particular is every single place is trying to do these unusual tacos, and you have been doing this for the longest time. So you know how to, and you have an international understanding of food, so you can do tacos, from now until doomsday with every imaginable combination. But isn't it interesting that the tacos have taken over New York City?
I knew that was coming. I said, you can put anything in a corn tortilla.
And it's good.
And it's good. If it's fresh done and all the ingredients, they're freshly made. You cannot go wrong. And we still offer the taco platter. Yeah.
And kids love it too, right? I mean, who doesn't like eating with their hands?
And I know. And a taco, it can put so many good things in there. It's one of the most fun things to do a party with. And, I remember going in a store and seeing either metal or plastic taco stands.
Oh, taco stands.
Because how do you stand them up when they're crunchy like that? When the tacos are masa, does that mean they're pure corn? Or is there flour in the making of those masa shells?
Some brands that they do have a little bit of flour, but the ones that we use is 100% corn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You find some masa that is stone grind corn flour, and they just add water, and that's it.
We're talking with Suzette and Franco Camacho, who had the restaurant Roomba in New Haven, and have opened up a new restaurant in downtown Brantford, just around the corner from the Green, called Beach and Barn. And obviously, land and sea is the focus of the menu. And you might see, without knowing it, if some of those touches from Roomba, just something that moves in there. There's a lot of creativity in this menu.
How could you not talk about the meatloaf sandwich?
I know. All right.
How could you
talk? Tell me. Because we never had so many visits to our website as when we did that meatloaf browned in a brown paper bag. It's still up there, people,
at
WNPR.org. Okay, it's up there.
Meatloaf in a bag.
It is a fantastic recipe. Do you sell about a billion meatloaf sandwiches?
It's getting very popular. It's not a day that I don't do a meatloaf pan.
Isn't that something?
Listen, I went for the Cuban when he brought it in. I was like, I don't want the meatloaf. I
Cubano.
Just want the Cubano. That's my sandwich. It's always been really my good. Sandwich. He's like, no, you have to try it. I'm like, dude, I'm not eating meatloaf.
I know. I can't.
I've had meatloaf 100 times. I'm not eating meatloaf. And he kept saying, no, you have to try the meatloaf. You have to try. Okay. It blew the Cubano away. It was so good.
Oh, that is great. That is great.
All right, so that's my new sandwich.
Well, I want to say, downtown Brantford, so lucky. I mean, really, yeah. Downtown Brantford
has got... I want a
restaurant
like this in my neighborhood.
There's, I mean, a whole bunch of restaurants. You know, there's Pasta Cozy. There's Le Petit Cafe, the French cafe. There's Your Beach and Barn. There's Home, where the guy's doing the meatballs and lots of other things. Really,
happening
downtown Brantford
town
is
now.
really very, very interesting. Thank you both so much. We're going to go to a whole Middle Eastern thing now with the chef and owner of the restaurant Balabusta, who has a cookbook by the same name. So thank you, Suzette and Franco Camacho, for being on the Food Schmooze with us and doing great work at the new Beach and Barn in downtown Brantford, Connecticut, just around the corner from the Green on what we would call Main Street.
Thank you very much for having us, and I hope you'll have a delicious day.
Okay, please support your local food growers and food makers. Find the food, wine, recipes, and cocktails and restaurants we feature anytime online at WNPR.org. Click on programs for the Faith Middleton Show. More delicious conversation, including Balabusta, after a quick break. Please stay with us.
I'm gonna make it chicken gumbo. Toss some sausage in the pot. I'm gonna flavor it with okra. Cayenne pepper to make it hot.
I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner. I am waiting at the counter for the man to pour the coffee. And he fills it only halfway. And before I even argue, he is looking out the window at somebody coming in. It is always nice to see you, says the man behind the counter to the woman who has come in. She is shaking her umbrella, and I look the other way as they're kissing their hellos, and I'm pretending not to see them. Instead, I pour the milk. I open up the paper.
I'm Faith Middleton with the gang, and this is the Food Schmooze Party, coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. To join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. Okay, here is the deal. I hope you will enjoy fantastic food and wine with me in a beautiful setting. Join me the week of Valentine's Day for my 5th annual heart-to-heart champagne dinner dance, February 12th at the Society Room. That's the 5th year of this, downtown Hartford, featuring a celebrated team of chefs working to make it a magical night for you. Wines from the gorgeous Frederick Wildman portfolio, music from Alex Nakamovsky, his vocalists and orchestra, special effects lighting from Audio Media Solutions, so it's very snazzy looking in there. Dress is festive, meaning you choose whatever works. Tickets are $90 per person to benefit WNPR and the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. Plenty of parking at the site. Our team of talented chefs includes David Sellers of Max Fish, Jeffrey Lizotte of On 20, Brad Stabinski of Chamard Vineyards, Jason Sobozinski of Caseus, Jeffrey Crawford of Jordan Caterers, Stefan Drago of Bell Terrace, and Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast, and the menu is a knockout. This event sells out every time. Special thanks to UConn Health Center's Pat and Jim Calhoun Cardiology Center and Fiddleheads for being our major sponsors. I can't wait to see you there. February 12th, go to WNPRHeartToHeart.org. And I think this would be a great surprise for someone, or you can tell them ahead and say, here is your Valentine's gift. Guess what we're going to do? So to be part of the Food Schmooze signature event, go to WNPRHeartToHeart.org. All right. I wanted to say one thing. We are interested in finding out, compiling a list of the best food trucks in the Northeast. If you if you go to a food truck or have been somewhere in the Northeast where there is a terrific one, or you've read about one, we would like to know where it is, because we love food trucks. So please go to our site and tell us where your favorite food truck is. And we don't care what kind of thing they're doing. We would just love to know, and we're going to make a terrific list so that everybody, no matter where you're traveling, this is such a great way to taste so many flavors. All right, ahead we have a coconut milk French toast. Yes. Mm. We have a Balabusta chicken soup. And believe me, this is not your grandmother's chicken soup because it has white wine and chorizo in it. We hope to get to a shrimp Spanish style, all from, and we're going to do the steak. I think this would be great for Valentine's Day. We're going to do a steak with a chimichurri sauce. I call it sexy steak from Balabusta. Okay, so that is coming up right now. We're going to talk with the chef and owner of Balabusta, cookbook of the same name, Einat Admani, is with us. Welcome to the Food Schmooze, Einat.
Thank you for having me.
Einat, what does the word Balabusta mean?
Oh, so basically Balabusta means a perfect housewife. Balabusta is kind of created a while ago. It's a Yiddish word for the grandma that takes care of everybody, that is the perfect cook. I think Balabusta today is a little bit different, since women want to achieve much more. They want to work, they want career, they have kids and family, and they need to juggle between everything.
Yeah. So, you have, I know, a mixed Israeli heritage, Yemenite and Persian. For some reason on today's Food Schmooze, I feel compelled to mention everyone's heritage.
So.
I'm Scottish, for instance. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So let's get into, I think this is great for Valentine's Day. We have two things on our website right now. The steak for two with this Middle Eastern chimichurri sauce, the way Einat does it. And also what you call, Einat, not-so-Jewish chicken soup. It has all kinds of things in it. So let's focus on the steak right now. We just finished eating it with your chimichurri sauce, and it was really
fabulous.
It's probably one of the best steaks I've had, but you have to read the first line. Men love sex and steak. So if you really want to impress your man, I can help you with the second one. Now, that is a capturing
great.
First
Chris
sentence.
Chris is reading from the cookbook. Okay. So that's why online you'll see it called Sexy Balabusta Steak for Two. Okay. So tell me how you do your chimichurri sauce. I will say the ingredients: fresh cilantro, a sprig of oregano, bay leaf, jalapeno chili that you dice, cloves of garlic, canola oil, white wine vinegar, kosher salt, freshly ground pepper, and flat parsley leaves. This is a sauce that can be done ahead, isn't it?
Yes, I would usually in Balabusta restaurant, what we're doing, we do all the sauce beside the parsley, so it can keep for a few days. And then every time we want to make it like fresh, we just chop really fine parsley and just mix it together. So everything else, it keeps green and nice. But the minute you're going to put the parsley, it starts going to get darker. And that's a great way to keep the chimichurri pretty fresh.
Well, that would be true for the cilantro too. So you might want to hold off on putting the cilantro in too?
No, you can. The vinegar going to hold everything really great when you blend everything in a blender.
Okay.
So basically the cilantro, the clove, the all ingredient beside the parsley can be, you can just grind it in the blender and make it really smooth sauce. And when you're ready, you just chop the parsley and add it inside, mix it nice, and that's it.
And I love the way you do your steak. I do mine this way, and I know Chris does his this way too, where you're searing it on both sides on the stovetop, and then after a couple minutes on each side, into the oven it goes for a few minutes, and that cooks the inside just to the right degree, depending on how you want it. And then the chimichurri sauce gets spooned over the top.
Love the chimichurri.
Yeah.
The jalapenos just added, right? That little heat. I've never had one with a nice spice like that.
How do we say it? It's a soft heat.
Yeah, it's a soft heat. It wasn't too much, right? One of my guys last night said it makes you want to eat more and more and more.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a compliment.
So this chimichurri sauce, you know, you could put on anything. You know, you could put it on chicken and pork and fish and rice and, you know.
Totally.
Now, do you serve this at the restaurant, Bala Busta?
Yeah, actually, my chimichurri I serve with my under the brick chicken and Israeli cuisine. So that's how I serve my chimichurri in a restaurant.
Oh, that is so good. That's good. And you have two other restaurants in New York City besides Bala Busta. What are they called?
So I have two locations of a Taim Falafel and a food truck. And I'm opening next month another restaurant, a little bit more refined, a little bit modern. It's a modern Israeli cuisine that's called Bar Bolonat.
Bolonuts?
Yeah.
Wow.
What does that mean?
To the point.
To the point.
To the point. Wow. Very cool.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what is modern Israeli cuisine? Well, we have so much work to do. Never mind. I want to get to, because the steak and the chimichurri sauce at our website, along with information about your cookbook, Bala Busta, and that's at WNPR.org. Search programs for the Faith Middleton Show, and that is there right now. I think it'd be great for Valentine's Day. But here it is. We're in the season of chicken soup, and you have in your book, Not So Jewish Chicken Soup. It contains things that I adore. This is one amazing chicken soup. Onions, of course, and celery and leeks together. So you have leeks and onions. And then dried chorizo, not the wet in the casing kind, but the dried kind. For instance, Palacios is the Spanish version that's in a lot of stores. Bay leaf, some thyme, chicken pieces with skin and bone. It's best if it's dark meat. Some dry white wine goes in here, salt and pepper, some ground cumin, ground turmeric, some water, and cubes of butternut squash and potatoes.
Wow.
How great. You know, if you've got a relative, is what I say, if you have a relative who's used to chicken soup in a much blander way and in a traditional way, you just tell them it's stew.
That sounds
good. I grew up in my dad is Yemenite, and they have the best soup. They have chicken soup and oxtail soup and leg soup. So basically, for me, soups is much more flavor. There is a lot of spices. We have a blend called Hawayet. It's a Yemenite Jewish spice for soups. So usually the soups I'm doing, even if it's a chicken soup, it needs to be much more healthy and spiced and, I don't know, different than the masa ball chicken soup.
And that spice you mentioned, that's Yemenite. What is that again?
It's called Hawayet. And they have two kind of blend. There is the white blend that is going usually for coffee and dessert. And the dark one, it's a mix of spices. And they always use it for soup. They put it almost at the end of the soup, at the last 2 hours. And this soup is usually cooked for like 6 to 8 hours. It's a very slow cooking method, and it's really nice.
I must tell you that this not-so-Jewish chicken soup, which I call Bala Busta chicken soup online, is there right now if you want that recipe. And, of course, it will be there for some time. But right this second, you can check it out at WNPR.org. And it is so easy to do, as you might imagine. It's just like any soup. It all goes in and then cooks over some time. You know, we're talking about probably 45 minutes to make this soup, or longer if you need it to be longer.
The smells with the chorizo.
Yeah, but, you know, I find that I get a little bored with the old plain chicken soup, and I start wanting to fool around, and wow, does this one do it. This is powerful,
fabulous
flavor. This is
made for you. You always keep chorizo in your fridge at home.
I do. I do.
Give it some smoke and some kick, and I like it because it is a little bit different than any other soup I taste before.
Now, Einat Admani, your cookbook Bala Busta also includes a wonderful idea. This is a coconut milk French toast. We have cream cheese, you'll find out why, thick slices of challah, eggs, heavy cream, coconut milk, sugar, vanilla extract, unsalted butter, not too much, sugar, mixed berries, and maple syrup.
Wow.
Wow. So this is the solution, as you say, for a leftover day-old challah. And you can now get this in the supermarket. You can get challah bread. So, okay, this is all skillet done. You've got a layer of cream cheese on two slices of bread. Then you top each one of those with the other two pieces of challah. So you've made a sandwich.
So it's a French toast sandwich.
So it's
so
a cream cheese sandwich.
When you bite into it, the cream cheese is going to come out of the ends. And, I guess you wouldn't pick it up, right?
You whisk together the eggs, cream, coconut milk, sugar, and vanilla in a bowl, and then put it in a baking dish. You soak the sandwiches in that mixture for about 30 seconds on each side, and they will absorb this little custard you've made. You melt some butter in your skillet, add the sandwiches, and you cook them until they're golden brown, about 2 minutes. And then you put them on a baking sheet, and you cook them in the oven for another 5 minutes. Now, what does that extra oven cooking do?
I'm going to let the cream cheese melt a little bit more, so it's going to be totally divine after.
Oh, yeah. You know, you cut the sandwiches in quarters so that you've got those little triangles. And
I'm very happy. That makes me happy thinking about this weekend.
Yeah.
That sounds good, yes.
So this is a kind of tropical.
Yeah, but I use some coconut milk in my dishes. I do a very Moroccan sauce, but finish it with a little bit of coconut milk to have, like, I don't know, it's more interesting, it's healthier. So I do use coconut milk in my food. And it is tropical, and it is definitely not Mediterranean or Middle East. Actually, this recipe came, it's a little bit even East European. It's not, but it's something I learned through a friend, and it's obviously I changed it a little and put a coconut milk, which I love, and I think it's great. I think it's a great brunch recipe.
Yeah, well, you'll find that in the website, Balaboosta, B-A-L-A-B-O-O-S-T-A. Inat Admani is with us, and there is a restaurant of the same name in New York City and a new one, Bowl of Nuts, that is coming featuring modern Israeli cuisine. Inat, thank you so much for being on the Food Schmooze.
Thank you.
On the website, you can find the coconut milk French toast. You can find the what we call the Valentine's Day sexy steak with chimichurri sauce done Inat Admani's Yemenite, way, Israeli way. It's just really, really good. And the not-so-Jewish chicken soup, which has chorizo and leeks and onions and white wine and garlic. And it is really killer good. Okay. Very quickly, I wanted to let you know that, we're all using baking pans all the time.
Yes.
And so Cooks Illustrated decided to test those 13-by-9-inch metal baking pans to find out, which one?
So like a lasagna type pan.
Yeah. So which one would you say is best? And they cared about how they clean up. They cared about whether they scratch. Did the bottom get brown? And so they made sticky buns and cornbread, and every single one was a dishwasher safe. And so I'll tell you the one that is best in show, and then I'll tell you the one which is number two. So the first one they loved was Williams Sonoma. This is their Gold Touch non-stick rectangular cake pan.
No kidding.
Yes.
Metal.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. A Gold Touch.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
Non-stick rectangular cake pan.
Yeah.
And you can put it in the dishwasher, but hand washing recommended. And that's around $33. And then the runner-up to that was the USA pan rectangular cake pan. So USA pan. It's aluminized steel. It has a nonstick coating. It is not dishwasher safe. And that is about $20. So if
they're both pretty reasonable for pans.
$20 to $33. The cheaper one, the $20 one, they said was a strong performer in all tests. So there you go.
Yeah, anything that holds up to sticky buns wins in my category.
And this is definitely a pan everyone needs to have, because it's not just to make sticky buns. You can make lasagna in it. You can make cake in it. I roast chicken in mine.
Yes.
Right? You can do so many different things.
And we'll put this on the website, too. The Williams Sonoma Gold Touch pan, and number two, the USA pan. Okay, really, really fun. Well, I was going to cook tonight, but I am definitely going to have
leftovers.
Franco Camacho's leftovers.
And who could blame you?
Are we fighting over that pasta?
That lamb ragu.
Oh, come on. I was looking at that.
That
I'm
was
have it
something.
On quinoa with kale, and it really was
I
something.
Was sorry to see it in a pan that had to go back with them. I was I
did sneak some aside for us, so we're all set to go. Don't forget, it sells out every time my champagne dinner dance wine dinner at the Society Room in downtown Hartford with those rock star chefs from all over and Frederick Wildman Wines, just and Alex Nakamovsky and his orchestra. You can wear whatever you want. No uptightness about that. Just have a great time. Go to WNPRHeartToHeart.org for ticket information. And it's all to benefit WNPR and the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. We're online right now and anytime. Find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wines, and easy cocktails we feature at WNPR.org. Click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.